This is the Soulful BR podcast with Janet Murray, episode 143.
Welcome to the Soulful PR podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got a great interview for you with Jessie Wilson. Now, Jessie is the founder of Institute for Mums, an online publication for mums and dads, and she's going to be talking about how you can grow your engagement on your Facebook page without spending tons of money on ads. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, ResponseSource. ResponseSource is a media inquiry service that puts journalists who are looking for help with stories in touch with people who want to be featured in the media. So that's people like you. And if you subscribe to ResponseSource, you'll get dozens of emails in your inbox every day from journalists from the likes of the BBC, The Guardian, and Grazia magazine. So there's no need to write press releases or pitches to journalists. You simply reply to the messages in your inbox. Now, using ResponseSource has resulted in some fantastic coverage for the clients that I work with. And one example that comes to mind is Kate Beavis, an expert in vintage style who's recently been featured in the Daily Mail, in Top Sante magazine and the Metro newspaper, simply from replying to a few emails. So if you'd like to find out if ResponseSource could help you to get press coverage for your business and have a free trial of the service, then head over to responsesource.com/Janet Murray. That's responsesource.com/Janet Murray, and I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. And now, on with the main part of the show. So joining me on the show today is Jessie Wilson. Now, Jessie is the founder of the Institute of Mums, an online publication for parents. And I invited her on the show because she's done something that lots of people find incredibly hard to do at the moment, and that's to get organic engagement on a Facebook page. And in just 12 months, she's taken her Facebook likes from around 2,000 to 40,000. And her content regularly attracts hundreds of likes and comments on the page. So I thought I just needed to get her on the show so I could find out how she does it. So welcome to the show, Jessie.
Oh, thank you, Janet. Lovely to be here.
So might you be able to tell us a little bit about how you got started and where the idea came from for Institute for Mums? And dads, I should add, actually. It is for dads as well, isn't it?
Yes, I tend to try to include dads as much as possible in there. So my background is in research. I moved to Tokyo when I was 21 and spent around 10 years working for an investment bank there, covering demographic and socioeconomic trends. And I mean, I guess you could say I was sort of living the dream then. I was traveling all over the world, hanging out with some quite high profile people. My work was regularly getting featured in the FT and The Economist and titles like that. And then 2009, motherhood hit and everything changed. So I won't go into too much detail, but I had quite a difficult pregnancy. My daughter ended up being delivered 3 months early, which meant work ended up taking a bit of a backseat for a few years as I concentrated on life at home. So it was only when my daughter started school that I decided to go back to full-time work. I saw a job advertised looking for someone to run the baby product research division at a London consultancy firm, which I thought sounded fun, and ended up doing that for a couple of years. So a big part of that role involved running a lot of large-scale consumer surveys for big brands, which was something I'd done a lot of during my time in Japan. But where in the past I was surveying people segmented by, you know, age and income level, I was now having to figure out a way to sample really specific groups of mums, which the traditional survey panels typically couldn't provide us with. So, for example, mums who'd bought a breast pump within the past 6 months, or mums who homeschool, things like that. So to get around this, we ended up partnering with a hodgepodge of blogs and other parenting sites. But it was a bit hit and miss, and a lot of them just wanted silly money. When I say silly money, I mean silly money. One of the really big parenting sites quoted us over £100,000 to run a single survey through their page. Yeah, so we didn't end up using them. So, yeah, to cut a quite a long story short, I mean, that's what led me to set up Institute of Mums. So really just to provide me with a panel of mums that I could tap into for research purposes. But, you know, in order to attract a diverse group, I knew I'd have to be a bit more subtle and strategic about my approach. So I focused on setting up a fun and hopefully entertaining and informative space for mums, initially just on Facebook, trying to build up a loyal following that would, you know, answer surveys that I push out to them from time to time. And yeah, a year on, you know, we're now sitting at around, I think it's 41,000 fans on Facebook. So it's proved to be quite a good strategy.
Wow. And the thing that really strikes me about what you've done is this engagement on your page, because at a time when everybody's saying that if you want to get reach and engagement on Facebook, you have to be prepared to spend money on ads, but you haven't at all, have you?
No. No, I mean, I've been fortunate with, I've managed to have a few posts go viral, which, I mean, the first one, I think, was last April. I posted something that, yeah, it was just silly pictures that kids had drawn. And I posted it on the 10th of April. And that morning I had 3,000 likes. And I think by the 12th of April, I was up to 10,000 and then 18,000 the week after. It just went absolutely crazy. Wow. The post got, it reached over 35 million people, according to my Facebook Blimey. Stats. It got 400,000 likes, 71,000 comments, over 300,000 shares. It was just insane numbers.
And was that your content, or was it something you were sharing from somewhere else?
No, I'd pieced together just funny drawings that kids had done, you know, with little innuendos and just things, you know, humorous pictures that appeal to people. I mean, other people had posted this in the past, but I tend to be quite strategic with the way I post. So, you know, I don't just concentrate on the content. I try to make sure that they're ordered in the right way so that, you know, when you click through, I don't have all the images with lots of red in grouped together, for example, so you don't get bored and your brain doesn't start wandering off onto other things. So, yeah, so and I spent a while just, I've got a dummy Facebook page that I use where I sort of try out the posts and the ordering of the pictures before I put it on my own page, so I can just make sure that it actually looks visually appealing and something that people would want to click on when they see it.
So. Gosh, that's a really good tip already. So that was April, and you were lucky enough to have a post that went viral. And I often say to people, you know, social media is hard work. You might be one of these lucky people that, and I would say it probably isn't luck at all, but you might be one of these people who gets a piece of content that goes viral. But for most of us, it's about kind of turning up every day. It's about showing up, posting things, even when you think nobody is listening, even when you have to twist people's arms to engage with you. What did you do in those early days? What was your strategy when, you know, day one, when you first started up the page?
The very first thing I did before I invited a single person to like the page was, I mean, it sounds absolutely crazy, and yeah, I probably am a bit crazy, but I spent 3 days backdating 12 months worth of content.
Wow.
So, I mean, I figure, you know, you wouldn't invite people into a shop to browse your products, you know, without kitting out the shop first. And I see a Facebook page as being quite similar. You know, I think the mistake a lot of people make, they register the name, they set up their page, they post maybe one or two posts, and then they invite their friends and everyone they know to like the page, which is fine. You know, you might get 100 likes that way. What you're probably not going to do is get their friends who get the notification, you know, such and such liked this page. They're not going to then come to the page, see this amazing content if you've only got one or two posts, and decide to like it themselves, if that makes sense. So I wanted to have, you know, a lot of content on there. And it wasn't original content. I went through, I posted like old newspaper articles related to stuff mums were doing, just, you know, these funny quotes. And a lot of it was stuff I could recycle later on once I'd actually got a fan base. But it was just to have something on the page so that when people discover it through, you know, who are perhaps initially friends of my friends discovering the page, that there would be enough there that would make them think, oh, this looks interesting. Yeah, I think I'll follow or like this page too.
And what happened? Did you find people were scrolling right down or looking at old posts when you did that?
Quite a lot, yeah. I mean, I'm still surprised now I get people liking posts from sort of 12 months ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, people didn't scroll right back to the beginning, but yeah, it was just making sure there was enough there just so that people knew what they were signing up for.
And when you say it was a year's worth, was it like a post a day or something like that?
Yeah, it was pretty much 365 posts.
That is really going some. And I guess it kind of proves that, you know, you had that post that went viral, and I said just there, didn't I? You know, you were lucky enough. Well, actually, you probably weren't lucky, but actually, somebody who's put 3 days in to backdate all the content, you know, you've really grafted up front on that, haven't you? So you got your first 100 followers. Did you have a strategy from there about your posting schedule and when and how you were going to post?
Not really. I mean, I have my own set of rules. Like, I will only ever post something if I like it and I think it's something I would like to comment on or click the like button on. You know, and if I'm ever in doubt about whether or not to post something, I would always say don't post.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think in a way, the content I put on, it works because, you know, I consider myself to be quite an average mum. So, you know, I figure if I like it, there's a good chance that other people will too.
Mm. And how many posts do you tend to do a day?
It varies. I mean, a lot of people, you always hear people saying, you know, consistency is key when you're posting on social media. I've never been consistent with my posts. Sometimes I post 6 times a day. Other times I post 3 times a week.
Right, okay.
And I tend to, you know, partly it's determined by my schedule and what I'm up to, but other times it's things like the weather. You know, in the middle of summer when mums are out in the park with their kids, there's no point posting, you know, 10 times a day because people just aren't going to see the posts. They're out doing other stuff.
What sort of things have you noticed about the kind of content that tends to do well?
In terms of trying to come up with viral posts, I mean, I've been lucky. I think I've had sort of 4 posts that have reached, you know, over sort of 10 million people since I started the page. And it tends to be content that can't be easily stolen. So, you know, video works well, but also multiple picture posts. So if you've got a collection of, say, 30 images that are all on a common theme, and then I post those with a little comment at the top, you know, that's something which people would be more likely to share, rather than just a single image or a single quote that people would screenshot and then just repost from their own personal page.
And can you talk through those other examples? So you gave us one example at the beginning of the children's drawings. What were the other 3 that went viral?
So the second one was, it was sort of a deliberate attempt to craft a viral post because I thought, well, the first one was, you know, a bit of luck there, quite a lot of luck. So the second one, I thought, well, I wonder if I can recreate this. So it was very similar. I sourced, I think it was about 35 pictures of products and images of things from the 90s, from when, you know, most of the mums on the page were growing up, just nostalgic things. So, you know, I had, I think there was a picture of Gordon the Gopher. Do you remember that exclamation perfume that everyone wore in the 90s?
I remember it, yeah.
Mr. Motivator, you know, things like that. Just sort of feel-good images that remind you of your youth.
So. And if you're not from the UK, then Gordon the Gopher was like a children's TV presenter called Philip Schofield, who was sort of very handsome and everybody liked him. And he used to broadcast from a broom cupboard, didn't he? And had this little puppet,
yes,
which was called,
yeah,
Gordon the Gopher. And the Motivator guy was like an exercise guy, wasn't he? He was like
yeah,
he was on breakfast TV or something like that. Okay, so you had these like nostalgic posts that kind of really people could really relate to.
Yes, and I mean, it didn't do quite as well as the children's drawings, but I think it got 50,000 shares and 250,000 likes, and yeah, it reached, I don't know, 10 million people or something. So yeah, and again, you know, propelled my likes forward from, I mean, that was only about 2 weeks after I'd posted the first one.
Right.
So yeah, the first viral post. So I think then that took me to sort of close to 25,000 likes.
And did you create that as a blog post or did you?
No, at this time I didn't have a website. It was literally just a Facebook page. I can't remember when I started the website, but I just thought, yeah, I should probably start a website to, you know, post some original content.
And so how did you present it? Did you brand up the pictures and put captions on them or something?
No.
Well.
No. No, literally just pictures I found and, yeah, and just grouped them together.
Wow.
Yeah, there wasn't much time involved.
And what sort of comments were people putting on the bottom? Was it just like, oh, I remember this, or this was fun, or whatever?
Yeah, all sorts. Yeah, just tagging people. People love to tag their friends in these, you know, their old school friends. Hey, do you remember we used to wear this perfume? And, yeah, which is great, because when they tag their friends, you know, that's introducing new people to the page. So that's really what you want.
So that's a really good tip, isn't it? So create content that other people will want to tag their friends in and want to share, basically. Okay. And how long did it take you to pull all those photos together for that post?
Oh, I don't remember. Hour or so, wow. Couple of hours.
So good maybe. Hours work there.
Yes.
And what were the other two that you mentioned that also went viral?
So there was one that was a bit more original, actually, because I found a video of a cat sort of slowly sliding down some stairs. I'd never used iMovie before, but I thought, oh, well, now's a good opportunity to learn iMovie. So I captioned it with, I think, last day of term, need a holiday or something like that. I can't remember exactly. And then I put some sort of slow, drawn-out music to it and posted that. And, yeah, I can't remember what that got. Oh, I've got it down, written down here. That got 16 million views. So,
people do love cat videos, don't they? They do.
I mean, I got a couple of sort of complaints on that one, people saying, oh, you know, I think it's wrong. The cat's obviously disabled.
Oh, no.
Or it's paralysed. And I thought, well, how did it get up the stairs if that's the case?
And how did you, it's an interesting point, how did you handle those complaints?
Mostly just ignored them, actually, because they were the minority.
Right.
I mean, most of the comments were overwhelmingly positive.
Right.
And I mean, you know, from being a journalist, you know, you're always going to get negative comments whenever you post something or write an article. So,
yeah. I think it's one of the things that worries people about putting themselves out there. But I think your attitude, which is kind of like, well, you know, most of the comments were positive. So, you know, let's not worry about a couple of negative ones. Sounds about right. And what about the fourth one that you mentioned?
So that was actually a friend of mine, just on her personal page. She'd bought this sequined top for her daughter. And have you heard of these mermaid sequins where you brush them one way and it makes one picture and then you brush it another way?
My daughter's got a t-shirt like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so this was a t-shirt. I think it was a unicorn on one side and a mermaid on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so she posted this video on her page and I just thought, oh, you know, that looks really good. So I asked her if I could use the video. And I cropped out her daughter's face so you could only see her daughter's hand, you know, chest sort of brushing sequins across. And, yeah, that one got a few million views.
Wow.
So, yeah, just, and her daughter got really excited about it. Every day she was apparently coming down. How many views today, Mummy?
Blimey. So really those four posts, would you say they're the ones that really kind of propelled your influence on the page?
Yes. Definitely. I mean, my goal was always to get to sort of over 30,000 likes as quickly as possible, because, you know, this isn't the main business that I run. My main business is doing market research for brands. So this was really just to, you know, give me access to as many mums as possible and to give me sort of legitimacy when I do push out surveys and things.
So
I've sort of stepped back from the page a little bit recently and haven't been posting as much. But yeah, I mean, I'll get back into it.
And do you feel there's a critical number of likes before things start getting easier?
I would say getting your first 100 likes is quite difficult. And then, you know, getting to 1,000 likes again is a huge struggle. Once you get over that, it starts to get a little bit easier. But yeah, I would say the biggest hurdle was probably getting up to 3,000. After that, you know, you can post stuff and you're getting enough people generally, you know, if you're posting the right sort of content that's relevant to your audience, you should be getting enough people liking and commenting on it that it will sort of snowball and other people, they'll attract other people to your page just through notifications.
Were there any particular things you said, you know, it was a struggle to get to 100, then to 1,000, then to 3,000. Were there any particular things that you did to make sure that content got under people's noses?
I think I did pay for a little bit of advertising right in the beginning to get me from sort of, 1,000 up to 3,000. Not a huge amount, And yeah, I mean, when I say I paid, I think I spent about £40 in total. But I just found I needed that just to, you know, if I had a piece of content that I thought would, you know, or should be doing better than it was. And I also partnered with some brands to run some competitions. So, yeah, I got brands to donate, you know, products that we could give away in a competition. And that tended to be where I spent my advertising money, because I thought there's no point advertising if you're not offering something to someone. So I would pay to boost the competitions just to bring more people into the page. And that worked. But I didn't run a huge number of competitions because, again, I didn't want to turn it into a competition site. You know, I want and to attract, you know, the professional competition type.
And I guess so, when you've got competitions and contests, that makes it quite shareable, doesn't it? Which is sounds like it's the key. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so at what point did you think, right, okay, well, this is doing well, let's start a website?
Oh, so that must have been after the first couple of viral posts. I was actually away when I posted the first one. I'd scheduled it to go out on April 10th, and then I jumped on an aeroplane and flew to Thailand. And it was when I landed that I was getting texts from people saying, have you seen your page? It's just gone absolutely crazy. And so I was on holiday for a week and then got back. And then I think that's when I thought, right, I should probably start setting up a website. It was one of those things that was always on my to-do list. You know, I had a website for the research side of the business, but not for the Institute of Mums.
And so, how many posts do you put out on your website now then?
Again, it varies. I mean, I try to do one a day, but yeah, recently I haven't done quite so much. But yeah, again, not enough hours in the day, unfortunately.
And can you talk a little bit about mistakes? We've talked about lots of things that you've done right. Were there any things that you think didn't work so well, or any things you'd change if you could go back and do it all again?
No, honestly, I can't really think of anything. That sounds a bit... probably want to edit this bit out.
are there any pieces of content that you thought were going to do really well or maybe didn't do as well?
There's been times where I've posted something and I thought it would do well and it didn't. And then I realised it was just a case of timing it wrong. So, I mean, there's a post that I think's pinned to the top of my page at the moment, which was for it was a t-shirt with a funny slogan. I can't even remember what it is right now, but I posted that and I thought that would be quite popular and it just didn't really take off. And then I did, however, get a few people messaging me asking where they could buy the t-shirt. So I did some research and found a link and found that you could buy it through Etsy. So I quickly signed up for an Etsy affiliate link.
Right.
And then I just reposted it saying, you know, I've had a few requests from people asking where to buy this t-shirt. So this is where you can buy it, and shared the original post.
Right. Okay.
And then it really took off. So
it sounds like you don't have a kind of a fixed posting schedule in terms of like times of day or week or whatever. It sounds like that's quite flexible for you.
It is. I mean, you know, people talk about the need to be consistent. And I think it depends on who you're trying to attract. You know, if you're trying to attract the, you know, professionals who are commuting into London by train every morning, then yes, you want to be consistent and you probably want to be posting at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the evening or whatever to catch them when they're on the train. But in my case, I want to attract a diverse range of mums. So I don't want to be posting at the same time each day. You know, I do some posts 3 o'clock in the morning so I, you know, can get the mums who are up with their babies, you know, doing the 3 a.m. feed. Yeah, middle of the day to get the stay-at-home mums, evenings to get the working mums. So, yeah, I think, you know, I don't want to be consistent because I want to attract as many people as possible by not sticking to a fixed schedule. And, I mean, I found, you know, the best time to sort of go viral, I found, seems to be the week that the schools go back after Easter. So, I mean, it was a deliberate strategy to post that first one with the funny kids drawings that week, because I thought, you know, when is quite a quiet time on social media, but when mums are likely to be sitting down just browsing their phones, not much else going on. So the first week back after the school holidays, I find is quite a good time.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. And it sounds like you're saying that it really depends on who your audience is and who you're trying to reach, and just trying to think quite carefully about how you can engage them rather than there being any sort of particular rules or secrets.
I think it's a similar message to the one that you always tell people, you know, with your content, you need to put yourself in the shoes of your audience. You know, in your case, it's thinking like a journalist. And, you know, here it's thinking like the people that you're trying to attract to your page. So.
And you mentioned putting things out at 3 o'clock in the morning. So do you use a scheduling tool for that?
Yes. Yeah. And I've used a variety of different scheduling tools, but I mean, more often than not, I just use the Facebook inbuilt tools. I find that's enough. I'm not posting so much content that, you know, that I'm not posting months in advance.
And often we're hearing that using third-party tools or even scheduling on Facebook means you get less engagement. Is that something that you've noticed at all? I mean, is it better if you just post something like organically when it takes your fancy?
Actually, you could ask that failed question again because you've just reminded me of something I could answer for that one. So,
oh, go on.
Yeah, a few months ago, I thought, you know, I'm going to sign up for one of these scheduling services and, you know, that'll take loads of the pressure off. So I used Post Planner and I scheduled sort of a couple of weeks worth of content in advance. And I found that my, you know, the likes and the level of engagement did drop a little bit, not hugely, but a bit, a noticeable amount. And I spoke to some people to see why they thought this might be the case. And they thought I was becoming a bit less discerning with what I was posting. So, you know, I think when you use scheduling tools, there can be a tendency just to search for content and, you know, say, oh, that'll do, and post that. So that's why I rely a lot on intuition when I'm posting. And if something feels right, you know, and I might have a post that I've scheduled to go out at, you know, 10 a.m. and then it gets to 9:50 and I just think, you know what, I don't feel like now is the right time to be posting that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I don't have anywhere near the same number of likes and engagement on my page, but I've noticed that organic posting works much better on my page, which is a bit of a pain in the bum because I've got a lot of content and I've got a library of like 250 posts and podcast episodes and whatever. But without fail, when I post something just because I see it and think, do you know what, that's really interesting, I think my audience would really like that and would have an opinion on it, then that just does so much better than just kind of rolling through. I use Meet Edgar as a scheduling tool. And I think, you know, it would be impractical probably for someone like me to be posting organically all the time, but I still post at least once a day on my own page something that I've found that I think my audience will find interesting. And my best one recently was it was a story about Lush bubble bath and how they had a label on the back of the bottle which said something like, oh, why not get somebody to join you in the shower? And these grandparents had complained about it, and the Huffington Post had done a piece about it, and the other national media picked up on it. And I just knew it was something that lots of people would have an opinion on and would care about. And that's probably my biggest post ever that I've ever done on my Facebook page. It's like, really? Like 15,000 times more engagement than anything I've ever posted. And I think it was just because it was interesting and people had an opinion on it, and some people had quite strong opinions on it. And so I found that works really well. But when I talk to like some of the members of my membership community, the Soulful PR Studio, they have other things that work much better for them. And I think, you know, the message I always try and give to people is that you have to test things out and you have to see what works for you. And just because, you know, you're saying now that this works for you on your page, and, you know, I guess if I tried to put together a viral post in the same way as you did, it might not work for me. It's about kind of really trying to tune in, and you use that word intuition, didn't you, about kind of understanding your audience and understanding the timing and how they work and how they engage.
Exactly. And, you know, one thing I'm really not into, and I advise people not to do, is just posting for the sake of posting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I always say to people, nobody ever unlikes a page because they haven't posted enough content. You know, they will unlike a page if you're spamming them with irrelevant content, you know, 10 times a day. But, you know, you don't have to be posting all the time to keep your audience engaged. And sometimes just holding back on the posting will, you know, posting something new will just give the previous content a chance to actually get seen and take off.
Thank you. You've shared so much great value. So thank you for this. What would your advice be for somebody starting out? So somebody who's maybe got a business or like yourself has got some kind of online portal or community. What would your advice be about getting started?
You know, make sure, first of all, I guess, that you know what you want your page to be doing. You know, before you invite people to your page, set it up so that, you know, you've got your brand, your sort of Facebook brand sorted out. There's something there so people, when they visit your site, they can see what it is that you're offering. You know, I've seen people running cake businesses, for example, that, you know, have more photos of them and their kids out at the weekends on their business page than they do of their cakes. So, you know, I think it's, and put yourself in the shoes of your audience, your target audience.
So it sounds like sort of having a strategy, understanding what your brand's all about and who your audience is. It sounds like those things are really key for you.
Yes. And also, I mean, something else I do is I always like my own posts. And I think some people are a bit worried about doing that because they think, you know, oh, is it going to look, come across as being a bit narcissistic or whatever? But I always figure, you know, people don't like to be the first one to do something. And if they see a post with no likes, you know, they often think, oh, am I missing something here? Is there something I shouldn't like about this? So I tend to like all my own posts, firstly from my page and then sometimes from my personal page, but not always. You know, I don't want to be constantly spamming my friends with my Institute of Mums posts.
All right. That's a good little tip. Well, thank you so much. You've shared so much valuable information. And where can we find you if we want to know more about you?
So well, the best place is just really to visit the Facebook page, Institute of Mums, and send me a message through that. And yeah, quite good at replying through that.
Good. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook group? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.